some promises that you'll receive from today. When Adam preaches, we always get out early, so no matter how I try, I can bring 20 pages, but I'll still be done in 15 minutes. The sermon is always as much for me as it is for everybody else, so if you listen to it and say, well, man, he needs to follow some of that, well, usually if it speaks to my heart, I bring it because I know that if it convicts me, then it'll be good for everybody else. And don't ever take a sermon, I know Dad says this too, don't ever take a message from me and say he's not talking about himself, because it applies more to me than anyone else, and I think that's why God led me to bring it. This is the first time, I think, on a Sunday morning that Dad has been here, and I was going to say that next week will be Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Once you see what you have, then you'll appreciate the rest of the time. But let's turn over and look at our scripture. I think we should pray again. I'm pretty nervous. So let's have a word of prayer real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity. Help me to appreciate it. I appreciate these people being here today. I appreciate what you've given us here at this church. I pray that something I say will be taken and used, and that you'll encourage our hearts, and that it'll be what we need. Just be with everything that goes on today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay? And again, look back at Matthew, where we were a few minutes ago. Matthew chapter 26. Thank you. That'll be go a lot easier if you help me out with this message. So, Matthew 26. Story of Peter, how he denied Christ. Again, this is the crucifixion. Jesus is being crucified, and he's fulfilling the gospel plan. We are desperate in our sin. Christ had to come, and God's holiness demanded a sacrifice. God's holiness demanded a perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins, and that's what Jesus had done. I don't know if Peter understood that at this exact moment, but that's what Jesus was doing. Peter was outside around the fire, and as they're putting Christ to death in verse 69 of chapter 26, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. And again, the verses we already read, but Peter's sitting there, and he doesn't want to be associated with Jesus. At this time in his life, he might be worried about his own life. He might be worried someone's going to try to kill him. And Peter denies Christ. That verse that talks about how he cursed, and it says, Peter, he cursed himself. And that's what we all do when we deny Christ. But Peter said, if I know him, then I curse myself. And he was trying to prove that he wasn't associating himself with Christ. But a lot of times I think we do that in our own lives. And there are many things about what Christ does for us that we deny in our lives. That's what I want to talk about today. It doesn't sound like much of an encouragement, but it will end up that way. There's been many times in my life where I've been ashamed. As you're looking at me right now, my face is probably red, and people used to make fun of me and just to see me change colors. But I can think of a few times where I was very ashamed in life, and not justifiably so, but that's how I felt at the time. When Chantel met my dad for the first time, I don't know if he remembers this, but I told you here before, we were working at a night Bible school at a church, and we ran bus routes, and the buses got back pretty late to the church that night, and all my dad knew was that Adam had a new girlfriend, and he was out late on a weekday. He didn't know I was about the Lord's business, but anyway, he came to the church, and he pulled up. Chantel was standing on the other side of the car, and he rolled down the window, and I was on the driver's side, and he said, get in the car, get in the car. So at that time, Chantel did not, my dad didn't meet Chantel, but Chantel saw my dad for the first time. He was very angry, so I got in the car and went home. I was very embarrassed about that. Growing up, I was blessed, I guess, to have my mom drop me off at school, at the elementary school, Genesee Christian, and there was a bridge right before you got to the school. And for the first few years, right when I got to school, right before I got out of the car, I'd give my mom a kiss and say goodbye. And then after I got about second or third grade, I got embarrassed about kissing my mom. And I still wanted to say goodbye. I still loved her, but I asked her if I could give her a little kiss underneath the bridge before we got to school because I was so embarrassed. And God bless my mom. She didn't yell at me or get mad or start crying. She said, okay, she'll take what she can get. So that's what she got. Third one I shared just especially for today, we took a dad and Wendell, believe it or not, took a teen group to Cedar Point one time. And Wendell loves roller coasters, and we were all on the pirate ship, which, of course, pirate ship, everybody gets in, and you swing back and forth and back and forth. Now, again, I get embarrassed very easily. There were a lot of people at Cedar Point. We had to wait in line for everything a long time. But we're all on the pirate ship, and it's going back and forth higher and higher, and everybody's going, woo, woo. And one of the moments when everybody was not screaming, Wendell yells out, I have to go potty, and that was very embarrassing. You have to know Wendell, and everybody knows Wendell. That was the whole purpose, was just to make me ashamed. So he did a good job. There are many times in life we're ashamed, and not justifiably so, never when it comes to Christ, but there are times when we are ashamed of him and hide our association with him. So when we deny Christ, we deny what he does for us. The first thing and most important thing that we deny is his salvation. Everyone in the world has a choice as to whether or not they accept God's gift of salvation. Again, God's holiness, God's rightness, his righteousness couldn't accept us in our sinful state, and he needed Jesus to pay for those sins, what Wendell just sang about. He needed a sacrifice, a perfect person. Jesus Christ had to die and pay for our sins. And when we don't accept that gift, when we say, I'm not that bad of a sinner, I haven't done that many wrong things. And again, all of us fall short of God's, of the glory of God, for all have sinned and come short. It doesn't matter if your sin is pride in your heart. Every one of us has pride. It doesn't matter if you have the dirtiest and deepest sins of mankind that people know about or people don't know about. If it's a private sin or a public sin, none of that matters. All of it falls short of the glory of God. So Jesus paid for that sin debt for us. And if we accept what he's done, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we don't accept that, then we're denying what Jesus has done for us. Just like Peter said, I curse myself so much so I don't want you all to know that I'm associated with Christ. We do that when we turn aside God's gift. But again, once we accept Jesus, as most of us, I believe, here today have, there are still many ways that we can deny him and deny him in our life. Talking about being ashamed, I want to read a few verses for you that are some prayers of David. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Again, in a worldly workplace, which is most everywhere, there are people that don't follow God. There are people that make fun of those that follow God. A lot of times those people and their sin, and they know they're doing wrong and they're enjoying the sin, they're not ashamed of what they're doing. But we as Christians are. We sit there and we're quiet. We don't say anything. We don't speak up when someone takes God's name in vain. We don't speak up when someone talks about unrighteous or a filthy act. And we're ashamed of Christ. We don't represent what Christ wants us to do. And we don't protect ourselves as a Christian should. But the world's not ashamed. And David says there, let the enemies be ashamed. Let them walk in shame and let them feel sorry for what they've done, but Lord, help us not to be ashamed of you, of what Jesus has done for us. Let them that wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. So as long as we're seeking after God, we shouldn't be ashamed, and we shouldn't try to deny Christ. But again, that first one, when having this many notes, you get lost, so hang on a second. When we deny Christ, we deny his salvation, and of course that's the big one, but then we deny him with our actions. We deny him when we don't take advantage of the benefits that he offers. Psalm 103, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And I've heard that sung as a song, but bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God does all these things for us. There are benefits in life. There are benefits to being an American. There are benefits to working for a company that gives you health benefits. There are benefits to being in our state as opposed to another state. And we get to enjoy all four seasons, sometimes all on the same day in Michigan. But there are benefits everywhere in life. There's a story of Mel Trotter, who was a wicked, wicked man. He was a drunk, and he had a little child. And his wife gave him money to go and buy medicine for that child, and he went and bought alcohol. And then the child passed away. The child died, and they had a funeral, a small funeral for the child, and they put some new baby booties on its little feet that the mother had made. And that same wicked man took those booties and sold them and went and bought more alcohol. But God used that man. God used him in a great way as a preacher, and he started a mission, and he reached many people for Christ. God takes our life from the destruction, whether it happened because we did something or because someone did something to us. But he redeems our life. He buys us back from how we've been destroyed. God doesn't have any shame in taking the most wicked of all of us and saying, I can do something great with that life. That's one of the benefits of being his child. Another way we deny Christ is when he gives us an example to follow and we don't follow it. In John, the story of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, and he humbled himself. He changed his clothes. He wore the clothes of a workman, and he got out the bowl and he washed their feet. And they all said, he said to them, "Know you not what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and say, 'Well, for I am.' If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." And that last verse, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." When Christ leaves us an example, and that example of serving others, of not only doing good things for them and making sure that we're accountable to each other, that's a big thing in our lives, is to be accountable to each other and say, "I am struggling with this. Will you come and make sure that I'm doing right in this area?" And that's one of the main reasons we have a fellowship in the church, is to keep each other accountable. But Jesus here is saying, "I'm making sure that you're cared for. I'm caring for you. And this is an example to each of you to go and do likewise." A few years ago, the phrase WWJD was popular, and it got to be a cliche, and it got to be a joke almost to some people. But it's not a joke. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus act in this situation? And that's his example. And when we don't follow, if we don't act as Jesus did, we're denying him, just like Peter did. So when we deny those benefits, when we contradict his example, when we deny him, when we fail to trust his will for our life. And we talk about a lot of this in Sunday school a lot, how Satan's big goal in our life is to tell us that we're just an accident. I believe evolution is wrong, but the main reason I would fight against it is because it teaches that we're all from the same animal, that we can act like animals and behave as animals do, and that we're nothing special. Well, God created us as images of himself. God said in Jeremiah, before, when he was formed in the womb, God knew him. And anytime we try to say, "Well, it's just an accident, you're not supposed to be here," or "No one's looking out for you, there's no will for your life," we're putting that life on the shelf and saying it's not good. But God has a will for each of us, and Satan would love to destroy that. Each of us has a path in our life, a plan in our life that he wants us to accomplish. And Satan would love for us to be distracted by all of that and be distracted by everything going on in life, even if it's a good thing, even if it's a good distraction, it's still a distraction. And Satan would love us to not follow God with our life, and would love for us to not make a difference in our life. So each of us, stop making excuses. And that story of the prodigal son, at the very end of the story, how he went out and he said he used up all his money that his father had given him. He had blown it all, and he was in the pig pen with the pigs feeding them. And the Bible says he came to himself and said, "My father's servants fare a lot better off than I am. I could just go back and be a servant." And when we get to that point in our life where we realize that, you know, well, I tried every avenue except Christ. I tried all the, whatever it is, the drugs or the alcohol or anything, even the pride of not surrendering ourselves to God, because it's not saying this is all I have. It's saying, what can God do through me? And anytime we do that, eventually we have to come back to God and say, "I don't have any excuses left. I don't have any good ideas left. I have come to myself, and the only good thing I'll do in life is what God has for me to do, his will." So we deny him when we deny his salvation. We deny him when we deny all the benefits he gives us. Don't live your life like the poor, wretched, you know, the ones that we should go reach, the people that are at the end of the rope. Don't live a Christian life that way, because God has benefits that he wants to give us, and they're there for the asking. I can't remember when I said it, but I do on Wednesday nights every now and then. I'll talk about how Christ gave us his son, his only begotten son. Now, God's greatest gift to us was Jesus when he paid for our sins. And then we're ashamed, or we deny Christ in our life when we say, "Well, God met that need. You know, God is going to take care of me for the rest of my life, for all eternity, but I'm not going to ask him for anything else. I'm not going to trust that he has the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm not going to trust in his blessings. I'm going to try to make it on my own." And that's denying the benefit that God has for us. So again, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, if you're trying to make it on your own, I'm not even going to tell you good luck. I'm not even going to tell you I hope everything works out, because I already know it won't. I already know that a life without Christ doesn't make any sense. Just like a scientist tries to explain the world without God, it doesn't make any sense. I can imagine, what if I had spent my whole life studying evolution, and then like a month ago, Newsweek comes out and they found another skull of a monkey, so now they're rethinking everything. And what if our whole life was based on that? But it's not. I'm glad I haven't devoted my life to that. But a life without God doesn't make any sense. And this world without God doesn't make any sense. So I'm not going to tell you. I hope it all works out. I'm going to say, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, if you haven't made him a part and the whole of your life, then you need to do that. And you're going to accept Christ today and accept that gift, but then start a relationship with him. Don't deny him in any area of your life. Most of us, again, I hope and believe that most of us are Christians. If you are a Christian today, don't deny him out of your life. That goes down to the practicalness of life. I know it's Sunday morning, but I don't get a chance to say much to everybody here. It goes to some of the Sunday night topics, like television. Dad preached on Andy Griffith one time. But everything in life, if we don't hand it over to God and say, okay, when we sit down to eat a meal, we say, Dear Jesus, thank you for this food. I hope bless it to our bodies. Thank you for what you've given us. If I can't sit down at my computer or sit down at a television or sit down and listen to the radio and say, Dear Jesus, thank you for what you've given me. Bless it to my mind. Bless it to my soul. Bless it to my body. And some of you and I likewise are saying that'd be a silly thing to say because we wouldn't want to remember that God is involved in every part of our life. But he is. And anytime we deny him, anytime we say, just stay out of that area, I'm not ready to give that to you, we're denying the benefits of what God offers us. He offers this church protection, but he offers it to an obedient people. Again, in Sunday school, we're studying the kings, and God always says, I give you a promise. I promise you that I'll protect you. I'll preserve your line. You know, your sons will be king. And he gives them a wonderful promise if they just obey his commands. But so many times that seems like it's too much for them, and it's too much for us just to obey what God gives us. So don't deny him out of any part of your life. And I think we'd all be a lot better off if we took that advice. We should never contradict what God says. And we should never be ashamed. I'm almost done. So 15 minutes, we're almost up. Jesus said, But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus has many promises to us. And again, as the more and more we involve him in our life, the more and more we say, God bless this area. You know, some of us are the whole areas of life that we don't involve God in because we know what he thinks about it. And I believe, as I've heard said, that the Word of God, there are many parts of the Bible I don't understand and I don't know how to apply them in my life, but there are many, many passages in the Bible that I completely understand. And those are the ones that bother me because those are the ones that I know I need to apply in my life. And once I follow those, maybe God will reveal more to me. But there's plenty in the Bible we understand that we don't follow. And I think most important of all of those is our following of Jesus and his example. So again, if God isn't a part of your life, I'm sorry, but your life doesn't make any sense. Our lives apart from God, we are created in his image. And we can't say, I live apart from that. Jesus came to earth to live among us. He gave up so much. It's impossible for us to understand how much he gave up, but he gave up all of it to pay for our sins, to be that sacrifice. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today is just as good as any other day. Today is your opportunity. And it's not based on what I said. You said, well, I could have heard a lot better sermon, and I agree with you, you could have. But the truth of God's word, the truth that Jesus came and died for our sins and that he died for every one of us, we want our lives to make sense. We want to escape the punishment of hell. We want to escape the misery of a life without Christ. The most important thing is knowing that you're going to heaven when you die. And that might not be weigh heavy on your heart today. But again, I'd ask you, if it's not weighing heavy on your heart, make it important to you. Make it an issue and consider it right now for just a few minutes. Just consider what your life is without Christ. And then those of us, again, that are saved, consider the parts of your life that you have given to Jesus. Remember that day when you got saved, remember what it felt like, that relief. And then maybe think back to other times in your life where you've confessed sin and got it right and how God blessed your heart. And then say, well, if it felt that good then, why am I living the way I am now? And that might be all it is to you, is just to say, Jesus, forgive me where I've fallen short. Help me involve you in every part of my life. Help me not to deny you. Again, the story of Peter, he gets it right. He does the right thing. 50 days later, he's preaching Pentecost, and 3,000 people are saved and baptized. God uses him again. Peter always, he was called impetuous. He always spoke his mind or acted as soon as he thought of something, but God used him, and God used his action. God can use each one of us. And there are many times we have denied Christ, and it might be as silly as, you know, kissing your mom early before you get to school, and I feel bad about that now. But there's been many things like that with Jesus where I didn't speak up, where I didn't say anything, where I could have told somebody about Christ, or I could have defended my beliefs, and I didn't do it. And God will forgive you. God will still use you in an amazing way, as he did Peter, as he does each one of us. After he forgives us, he uses us again. So I'd ask you today, ask forgiveness and get back to that sweet feeling of being used of God and knowing that you're walking with him. And don't ever judge yourself according to other people. Judge yourself according to his word. And I think too many times we pay attention to what others are doing. We compare ourselves to each other and we worry about how we look in front of each other, but that's not the point of the Christian life. We're comparing ourselves to God's word and saying, well, how do I look in front of God? God sees every area of our lives. God sees the secret places, and God knows how it's all going to work out. God knows what we're doing, and God is the only one that can forgive us. So I guess that's what I'd ask you today. If you're not saved, today is the best day to do it. Today is the best day to ask Jesus to save you and start that relationship and start that beginning to receive the benefits that God has for you. And there are many benefits. And each one of us as Christians, we need to take advantage of those benefits and do everything we can to say, this is what the Christian life is like. Let's not live 20% of God's blessings. Let's not live 30% or 40. Let's live all of them and say, this, by example, is what God can do for you. And that's how we win others to Christ. That's how we show what Jesus has done for us, by telling them and by saying, this is what God has done in my life, living by example. So today, if you're not saved, we'll have the Bible. We can show you how to be saved. And then Christians, I would just ask you to say, Lord, I remember how it used to be. I remember when you forgave me. I remember when I got saved. And I'd like that feeling again. And here's the areas of my life where you're not in control. And God, of course, you know about them already, but it's up to us to turn them over to God. And that's what I'd ask each one of us to do. So let's have a word of prayer.